Oh, no, boy.
Here we go. We're doing the show.
The show is here.
The show is here. Were you ready? Doesn't matter.
You know who wasn't ready?
Andrew T.
My ass.
And you know who was marginally ready? Tawny Newsome. You know who was completely ready? Our engineer Jordan.
On point.
On point.
As always. Not once not been on point.
I love that Jimmy Pardo spinoff. That's his sequel, right?
Oh, boy.
Never not once not been
on point.
Guys, welcome to the show, Yo, Is This Racist? You know, last week we did not say what the show was or what it does. Or the week before. There was a week where we straight up just did not say it.
You know what? Because we don't care.
We don't care, but do you guys care?
Do you even know?
Maybe.
You tell us.
Tell us if you care to know what this is.
If you're listening to the show right now, say out loud what the show is and what it's about.
And I felt you ask for that.
You got it.
And now we will deliver. This is the show, Yo, Is This Racist?
Mm-hmm, you were correct.
It is a show where, who was correct, me?
No, the listeners all just now.
Because they guessed?
They said it. They know.
Oh, they said, I'm following the bit now. This is a show where your hosts, Andrew T. and myself, Tawny Newsome, entertain the company of a comedian or other folks.
A race comedian.
What am I doing?
Never a race comedian. And we make them help you with your racism questions.
Yeah, people call in with voicemails for our special guests or guests. That was the most roundabout way to do it.
2020, perfect intros.
2020, wandering to the point.
We also forgot to wish everyone a happy Martin Luther King Day.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, everybody.
Yeah.
I hope you got the day off work.
Yeah, I hope you did something respectful.
I hope you got a UPS delivery. I found out that UPS still delivers on MLK Day.
Hell yeah.
Like, is that disrespectful or is that just like people need their curtains?
Well, both.
People need their curtains from their auntie.
Capitalism never stops grinding forward.
If you run a company, where mm-hmm. What do you do? Do you decide to let your workers have the day off?
Mm-hmm.
Do you not because productivity is all and the supreme computer will get mad if we slacken our productivity goals?
Or is it better, even though you rue the loss of the productivity, but you know the optics need to dictate that you must allow the peons to have their day off or day on.
Woke for Q4. That's a legit question. I want to know if you have a business or you run a small business or if you're just in charge of a big team business. Or a sales force. Yeah, if
big
you run a
business.
Big business after the shakeup, if you let your workers have the day off.
Yeah.
And hit us up with ways that you guys celebrate MLK Junior Day. I'm curious.
Yeah. The ways that you had done.
Yeah. But ways that you celebrate in perpetuity.
Yeah.
The day
what
didn't
do you, what
end.
Do you get up to? That's true.
Yeah.
Do you think, and I guess to let us know how you celebrated fucking any of the number of Confederate flag days or whatever the fuck that also happened this is really where the kind of like rhetoric of the North is just as racist as the South hits the road is like the people are probably pretty close ish, but at least, you know, no one out here having like Confederate Heroes Day or whatever the fuck you have in like Alabama.
Damn.
I'm just saying that shit is fucked up.
The spread for that has to be so whack. I just gotta say it. I'm sorry. Confederates, they can't plan a menu.
Just Johnny cakes and losing a war.
The fuck is fuck a Johnny you. Cake?
I think it's like a little cornbread.
Oh, that sounds good.
Well, it's cornbread. It's like hardtack.
Ooh.
It's for when you're like running from, because you're the racist losing a war. Also, honestly, probably because you're the slightly less racist winning a war.
It sounds like those types of foods sound... Oh, what? Jordan, put up Johnny Cakes on the screen. It does just look like cornbread.
I think it's just cornbread.
Looks like straight up cornbread. Or cornmeal pancakes.
Yeah.
I would eat that. Is this what you guys tune into this show for?
Would you eat that? Call in 323-389-7223 and just say yes, yes or no. Would you eat that?
Just shout yes or no and say nothing else or you'll be disqualified.
Dial in.
Oh, good gravy.
God damn
good
it.
Good gravy on a Johnny cake. We are stalling.
I'm not stalling. This is what I want to talk about.
You're right. Are you guys excited for when we eventually just morph this show into nothing to do with racism and it's just me and Andrew hanging out? Raise your hand if you would still listen. Jordan raised your hand. That's cute.
Yay.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for your support.
That was nice.
Because we're tired and the world isn't getting better. Anyway.
I'm not tired. I am tired.
What?
That's tired.
Your whole brand. That's your catchphrase.
I was just trying.
That's your Tiffany Haddish, she ready, I'm tired.
I was trying a new thing.
I'm not tired is your new thing?
I ain't tired.
No one believes you.
I am tired.
Your eyes are half closed
as you
say it.
I sound so tired.
Yeah, man, because you are tired.
I'm tired. Holy shit.
Who else is tired?
You know who was tired? I'm tired of motherfucking Stephen King.
Uh-oh.
This is news, actually. We
go
probably
off, queen.
Probably would have qualified for last week's news, but...
Who's got a calendar?
Not, literally not us. I don't know. So we don't need to rehash the whole thing. Homeboy went on Twitter and just wrote this thing about, you know, the sort of tired old white man thing. I guess we can say specifically, I never consider diversity in matters of art, only quality. It seems to me that to do otherwise would be wrong. Basically trying to say that it's this like backwards logic of like all like white guys saying like, it just happens that all the best things are what they are. And like to, you know, just it's just a coincidence. Or it's not just a coincidence. I mean, really what they're saying is like, hey, the literary canon is filled with the work of white men, literary and artistic canon. We are claiming that the reason for that is because it is, quote, the best. And refusing to acknowledge that there are other factors in determining what is the best or important work.
Yeah.
And not really being able to, like, because I mean, just the answer, like, or facing the question when you say shit like that is like, oh, so why do you think then that all of the best work of art is disproportionately represents white, straight white men? And
yeah, it presumes an even playing field where there is not one.
Yeah. Well, and it's also just like, just say, I think white men are better than other people, then.
I don't even think he thinks that. I don't know what he thinks, but I think a lot of these people truly think like, well, the cream rises to the top. Quality reveals itself.
Well, yeah.
And they don't take into account.
That's what that means. That then if that is true, then it has to mean that you think straight white men are better than other human beings.
I think people's, you know, like cognitive dissonance where they can separate like what it means versus what it actually, but I will point out that one of my favorite responses to it, it was super simple, was from a friend and former guest host of this show, Danny Fernandez, because she's a Stephen King fan, as she said in her tweet, and just said, with all due respect, who is deciding what is, quote, the best and what do they look like?
Yeah.
And how does that not factor in? And I think that's kind of the end of the argument if you're a thinking person.
You know I'm not, but okay.
Hey, man. I didn't claim to be. I posed the question.
Lynn.
Yeah.
And then the other one that we had was also, we only have showbiz news this week that we could think of. Also, we're recording a couple days earlier than usual, which is even a couple days before this episode comes out.
Shh, Andrew, you're telling him the secrets.
No, I'm giving it away so that we don't get in trouble for not having any news for the next 5 days.
This is good. This is good. I like this.
You know, because I don't know jack shit. Anyway.
No, this is good. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hank Azaria is no longer doing the voice of Apu.
Yeah, he's confirmed that he's no longer going to voice the character. He confirmed that it was a mutual decision between himself and the Simpsons brass, I guess you say.
Yeah.
You say brass? I don't know.
Honk, honk.
I wanted to point to a very recent former guest of the show, Hari Kondabolu, just tweeted that he does hope that they keep the character and let a very talented writing staff do something interesting with him. You can read the rest of Hari's tweets, but I think it's important for people to realize that Hari was never gunning for the complete erasure of this character.
Yeah, and because Hari is a much more reasonable person than
yes,
I am.
Yes, and he points out that he has a lot of love for the character, sure. And it was, you know, if you've seen the documentary, you know all of this, but I think a lot of people who haven't seen the documentary just assume that Hari's some, like, censorship maniac who just wanted it erased, and
yeah.
That's never been the case.
I think also, yeah, it's like, Yeah. The argument that it's like censorship is like actively not listening to, you know, because I feel like we get that shit all the time, or I do too, especially like when just like, oh, you just want us to shut up, or you just believe in censoring people. And yeah. It's like,
well, we say shut up on the show a lot because like this is an entertainment podcast where like we don't want to hear from you. But
yeah, I want you to shut up. But that doesn't mean I think the government should shut you up.
Right. Yeah, we mostly are just like,
I just wish you would shut up.
Yeah, we want some people to shut up, just like, you know, as a general annoyance for people in their 30s.
Yeah.
I wish for a lot of shit too.
Ooh.
I don't know why. I feel like I have to say that just because I worked with Hank Azaria, I don't know anything about this.
Yes.
No, I just feel like it's weird to not. I did a whole season of a show with him. He was delightful to work with. Mm-hmm. I don't have any more information than you guys do. These issues did not come up.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sorry. I feel like we dropped this without talking about how. Yeah, we're you know, to greater or lesser degrees. Tani and I are both deeply compromised individuals because we work at the entertainment.
Oh yeah. So we work with people every day that, sometimes appear in the news for good reasons or bad reasons or whatever. And like,
yeah,
so often when you're at work, you're working and you're
can't do that shit.
You're not chopping it up about random scandals in the news, certainly.
But yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. Unless you got like super Disney secrets to spill, then I want all those.
The main Disney secret so far I've been able to discover is that there is not employee-only Baby Yoda merch, which has bummed me out.
Why you want some elite-ass merch that other people can't get?
Well, I just thought the merch that existed was so ugly, so I went to the Disney store at lunch today, and just not that good.
Can I talk about something that's not news?
Yeah.
Can I talk about the circle? I need to talk about the circle.
I mean, you have, a couple of minutes.
I have a couple of minutes and I'm going to use this time. I'm reclaiming this time to discuss the circle. I've never been a reality TV show head, but guys, this shit has drawn me in. But I have to talk about how the only black women on the show are catfishes.
Oh.
If you've been watching it, this isn't a spoiler.
I've only watched 1 second of it, but I saw that second, or at least the 1 second where one of the catfishes...
Don't spoil anything.
Are
you going to spoil something?
No. I don't think so. I literally have only watched the intro of that thing where I saw one of the catfishes was a black woman.
That's, well, yeah. Well,
the black woman's picture was a catfish.
Yeah. So the premise of the show is that people are in this fake app and they live in a weird high-rise apartment in Chicago. I've actually been in that building before. And
they're not actually shooting in that building, right?
Yeah, they are. You can see the outside balconies from their inside. And I've been in those apartments before. And when I was in college, I went to a party in those apartments and I thought, these are the wealthiest people in the world.
The circle.
They have granite countertops.
Hell yeah.
And a balcony over the river.
Do you think...
The green ass gray river. I was like, these people are rich.
They're the best. They're the best human beings.
And now seeing it on television, I'm like, these apartments are trash. But oh no, I just wanted to say, if you're not watching it, then you can skip all this. But I just had this thought where I was like, so the only black women appearing in the circle are fake. They have one has a different black woman behind it. The other one has a black man behind it. But isn't that such an allegory for all of social media that everyone's trying to look like a black woman?
Oh.
Anyway, I just had some thoughts about it. It's not deep.
No, I think that's significant. Do you think that's significant in a good way or just an unthinking reality show producer did that?
I don't think it's anyone's fault and I don't think it's bad. I think it is telling of the fact that, because the players got to choose, presumably, whether they wanted to portray themselves in the circle or if they wanted to portray different pictures. And I think it says something about the fact that we love consuming black women specifically and women that appear to be black women on social media, maybe less than we enjoy consuming them in real life.
Damn.
I don't know. Everybody trying to be black on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is I think that is more nefarious. I always think everything's more nefarious. But I think, I mean, those people are cast presumably before they go on. The producers know exactly what's at some point before everyone was locked.
Yeah.
The producers had a chart and could have been like, hey, we don't have any real black women on here. And they elected to not rectify that.
Maybe. Look, I'm not here to say anything bad about the Supreme High Leader Netflix, my literal employer.
Hell yeah.
I believe in
Netflix.
Everything they do. I love you guys. Shout out to Netflix.
Keep Jesus taking Christ. My $10.99 a month. Okay.
But sorry, we don't normally do this on this show, but it has
been. Yeah, we do now. We do whatever the fuck we want.
We talk about reality shows we on can. This show? God damn. I feel like we need Kara Brown in here to properly dissect The Circle. I feel like I'm doing an injustice because I'm not really in the reality TV space. So maybe one day, if you guys would like to hear about this.
I'm going to tell Kara you said she's in the reality TV
God,
space.
Please don't.
All right. Well, Kara's not our guest this week. Rizwanji stopped by.
Yeah. Rizwan is in Perfect Harmony, and he's a super funny actor. And I'm excited that you guys get to meet him through our conversation.
Show was fun as hell.
Let's do it.
Let's start. Now?
Now.
No.
Now.
Now.
No.
Now.
Now. Yeah. We did it.
I don't know. We fucked this up.
No, it's been great, and it's going to be great. We're here with Rizwan Manji. What's up?
Hello. How are you?
We're good.
I'm so happy to be here.
What's up? Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We're glad that you like the time of night it is. We apologize to everyone, but if you're okay with it, then we love you for it.
I love
yeah.
it. Yeah, that's great.
Cool. We just have to respect people enjoying this time.
Well, usually do it at this time?
Well, no, I feel like podcasting is a daytime endeavor. It's a strong like 2 p.m. You get a cup of coffee type of a vibe. Like a Tuesday at 2 is a prime podcast time. But Andrew has a job. He's writing on Mixdish. So he's in the room all day.
I'm in the MFing room.
He's in the MFing room. But like for you, I know you have kids. So like this time is a weird time
it's
to
a
ask
weird time,
a parent.
They're just getting home from the after school stuff, about to go to bed.
Do they do a lot of after school stuff? Are they real like
They do Mathnasium.
What?
Am I allowed to say like names of company? I don't even know.
You can say whatever you want.
This is a commercial for Mathnasium.
I mean, it helps that the company does sound like if, gun to my head, we were asked to make up a fake name for an after school activity, I also would have said Mathnasium.
You would also, because it sounds like a fake. Yeah,
yeah. It sounds not real at all.
I don't know. Math gym?
I think there is a math dimension. There's a math.
I'm sure they're like, how can we make math sound like active and fun and sporty?
They were at a different one before, like a while back, and it had the weirdest name. It was called Aloha.
Huh?
It was a math gym, but it's Aloha.
So is it like
now we have to name all of these?
I know. Wait,
what are the other options?
Yeah, is it like a tutoring thing? Is it just like a fun thing?
So, Mathnasium is, they go in and they basically give you a little bit of a test at the beginning and they see which one, what you, your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and then they sort of coach you on the stuff that you need help with.
That's good.
Or and also moving forward, like say if you're already past the grade level, then they'll
new help math.
You. Yeah, new math.
I think what that. The shit I did was.
You did some cool math.
I did Science
shit?
Olympiad.
You what? Did?
In Michigan when I was a kid.
That
I
also
hated science.
Fake.
I was very good at math, but I hated science.
Science Olympiad was actually a good version of it. In fact, it probably wasn't enough actual science because it was all like Mr. Wizard type competitions. So it was mostly just kind of like whatever fucked up engineering you could do in your like, you know, school and competing against other schools. So I was really good at making a thing that fit within one cubic foot. But what did not weigh very much, and an egg would placed in the middle of it would not break.
Oh, sure.
So
sure,
you'd build basically a big old pillow, and then put an egg in the middle of
Riz's
it.
Riz's face. You're
and
like,
then
what
drop
is this
it,
shit?
Drop it off of the top of a.
Oh yeah, we did that. We dropped it off a building.
The egg drop.
Yeah, egg drop.
And there was some robot shit too.
I know people built like aeroplanes.
Yeah.
So you guys are younger than me. That's why you guys did robot. We didn't have robot stuff.
They didn't, robots weren't alive yet.
Robots, well, we didn't do any robots. I remember doing nothing that interesting.
Oh, and the other one I did was math counts.
That's just
math counts.
Yeah, which is also gun to my head. Had to make up a math club.
You
math
sound like something from The Good Place.
Counts.
So Riz and I met in a television program that he is on.
That counts. Perfect
Harmony.
That counts.
That also
counts.
That
we're both on.
Yeah. Well, I'm not on it anymore. But it was so fun because your cast is so fun and everyone loves each other so much.
It's such a great,
very cute.
It's such a great time. It, we had a we're done shooting season one, and we had a great time. We had a great time with Tani.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, the first time I met you, it was a bizarre day because there were 100 extras all trying to learn the electric slide very quickly.
Oh, and that's right. You just walked in. We were like seeing you from a stage. We're like,
you were on a stage at 6 a.m. A camera panned over your face and you had to intuitively know the right moment to scream the words, "It's electric.
It's electric." I must have done it 100 times.
You did it so many times. You lost your mind. You fully broke down. And I said, this person should be my friend. I like this energy. It was a wild show, but very
it was wild. Also because, well, we know Tani, and then when I saw the show, I'm like, oh my, you're so mean on the show.
Was I?
Tani, it was so great. It was so perfect.
Tani, mean as hell.
Well, they had all these, like, the writing is so cute, and they had all these snippy, kind of flirty lines.
It was great.
And I was like,
no, it was...
I realized I've never really, like, properly flirted.
Oh, interesting.
So I was like, oh, I'm just, like, giving this guy shit, right? And then we date. And the director had to come up to me one time and be like, maybe you need to look like you like him. I was like, that's a read for my life.
Explains so much about hanging out with you and your husband.
Oh, no.
It's all, I guess, flirting.
I guess. I just berated him until he was like, I guess I'll marry you.
Guess we're doing this. We doing this? Guess so.
But yes, so watch that show when it's back
Thursday
at...
The finale is Thursday.
9:30 after Will and Grace on NBC.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And so, on like Hulu.
Yeah.
And on NBC.com.
Forever on Hulu in our hearts.
Yeah. Hulu counts. I was like, you'll find it somewhere. You just say the name and people were like, it's somewhere.
Yeah. Hulu counts these days.
Yeah, it definitely
counts.
Those
numbers are just as good as TV numbers pretty much.
Does Hulu ever give out numbers? I have like, I'm still trying to figure out like, how do we find out?
I don't know. Math counts. Get at Hulu.
Math counts. It should be a project for Math Counts.
One, right? Two, three. Just three.
I would love that. They were like, Math Counts, your project is finding out how many people watch Perfect Harmony on Hulu.
Riz, okay, one more thing about the show that I love. I love that your character, he plays Reverend Jack, so he's like the presider over the parish. I don't know church terms. But you have this fun...
I'm Muslim and I'm playing a reverend, so don't ask me.
It's fantastic. But you have this fun game where your character doesn't know the real names of shit because you were raised by missionaries. It's just such a fun, satisfying game.
It's so crazy. I love it.
Didn't you have one for Heathers?
I did.
It was like
all. I'm gonna butcher it. All girls named Heather go to hell together or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was something odd.
Like that was what your missionary parents were like. This is what this movie's called, and nothing else. Yes,
just a sample of that. Get on Hulu.com.
I butchered it. The writers are going to kill me. They're like, this is not what we wrote.
Oh, if you're...
He's a writer on Mixed Dishes.
Writers
like,
are...
Why
not
would they write something like
writers
that?
Writers are famously chill about...
Famously chill. Also, flattered you think they listen to this show.
Yeah.
They'll never know what you
Who
said.
Who cares? Surely. No one cares.
No one.
Was there anything else? Do just we want to like, do a voicemail?
Yeah, like this show, we talk about racism, so fun segue.
My favorite thing to talk about.
I feel like on set, we were talking about this stuff, and you were like, I actually have a thing that happened to me.
Did I tell you?
Did tell it to me.
I told you like a bunch of things. I think every...
Do you mind talking? Do you want to just do it on the microphone?
Tell you what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, of which one? Because I think everything's racist, but it's probably...
Welcome.
I think I told you one story, you were like, no... This is not racist. None of what you're saying is racist.
I love this.
It's in your own mind.
You and I are on the same wavelength.
I think you looked at me like this. You need to be on my show because you have absolutely no idea.
Now it's too far.
I try not to be an adjudicator, but honestly, probably I was probably just like at work and being like, there's too many white people around here for me to just be like labeling shit racist. Give me a minute.
I know. You can't give it to the white people for free.
Nah.
Problem. You got to be in front of a podcast mic. Okay, well, they'll come up. Let's start do a awesome voicemail. We'll just go from there.
Hi, Tani, Andrew, and guests. My 12-year-old was reading one of the Scott Pilgrim graphic novels to me and used an accent for Knives Chow's mom. I told them they probably shouldn't do that. They could just read with their own voice. And my kids said I'm wrong because to use an American accent for an immigrant is attempting to assimilate them to whiteness and disregard their culture. Oh! Are they right? Am I wrong? Oh! I love this show so fucking much. Thanks for your time. And I think that's under a minute.
Ooh, you woke Olympics in with a child.
These are the most woke people I've ever, like.
No, wait, the kid was bad.
Me and my kids do not have these conversations. I feel terrible as a parent. Okay, I want to know what you guys think.
Wait, the kid was bad, right? Did I mishear that? The kid was doing an accent.
The kid was doing an accent, but the kid had a compelling
argument.
Oh, pfft. You're not going to let a little kid run a logical circle around you like that? Come on.
I mean, sometimes.
Come on.
You seen kids these days? They know shit. They have iPads. They know as much as a me with an iPad, frankly.
I'm sorry. You have to cancel your kid. Your kid is canceled, Colin.
Yeah, Colin, cancel your child. No, but that's funny that, like,
we're canceling children in 2020.
I like that her instinct is like, oh, maybe don't do like a probably not super authentic accent for the where you perceive this person to be from. And the kid's like, no, you're erasing their immigrant experience. Just the vocabulary on that kid, I'm impressed by.
But I guess I agree with you.
Yeah, you're probably
I don't
right.
think you can.
I just know that they know way that accent is good.
Yeah, no. No.
Also, this is a comic book.
When is it ever okay to do? Like, I guess my question is.
Wow. You're one ahead of me. Go for it.
Well, I was watching Trevor Noah yesterday, and he does like Middle East. Like, he was talking about Afghanistan, and he's doing like Middle Eastern accent, and nobody ever. But then Stephen Colbert or Whoopi Goldberg did like a Chinese accent.
Yeah,
and it. It blew, but nobody
sort
ever
of.
So is it
Colbert didn't really he's fine.
Well Colbert did but Whoopi Goldberg did
sure yeah. Yeah.
So does he not get called out for it but she does and I don't know
yeah well what do you what, the accent thing I think is like is it I was about to say tricky it's not that tricky
it's not
I don't think so I don't know
have you ever done an Indian accent
I don't think I could.
Now you have to.
I 100% have. I'm an improviser. I've done every accent.
Yeah.
That I also was like a weird linguist nerd as a kid.
Yeah.
So especially when I first started improv, I was like, oh, not only can I do all these accents because I have like an ear for different dialects. Also, I was often the only person of any color at Second City. So my dumb brain was like, well, none of these white people should be doing these accents.
You should be doing it.
And there's no Latino people on stage and there's no Indian people on stage. At least I can represent them, the ghosts of brown people past, and create facsimiles of them for this white audience.
Yeah.
So I thought I was like doing a great service, which is deeply flawed thinking. But yeah, I've done lots of accents and I don't like, some of them I look back on and I'm like, not again. And some I'm like, in context, that was fine. So I don't know.
I think that's sort of what it. Well, for instance, it's like doing this kid doing a Chinese accent.
Yeah, while he's reading a graphic novel out loud.
You're just like,
do we need it?
Yeah. First of all, you definitely don't need it, and it's also definitely not good. Like, I just feel so confident in saying that, and I think it's like the history of it, right? It's like. You know, the way that white culture has made fun of accents is different.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair? Sure. Right? Like, because people occasionally will write into this stupid-ass email box or this voicemail box and be like, what about the Mario, you know, like the Italian accent? Is that racist? And it's like, it's kind of different.
Yeah.
It's just different. I don't know.
Yeah, it does just seem like the thing you're describing about Trevor Noah, like, I mean, this show doesn't have any real answers ever, but
yeah,
I feel like there's not an answer to that. It's more like, I don't know, did it bother you to hear Trevor Noah do those accents?
It didn't, but I took it in the sense that I thought about it. I was like, oh, wait, why is this okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, he's a pretty decent satirist, so I wonder if you taking it in is part of the experience he wanted you to have with that joke, or was it just collateral to, did he just want to do a funny accent? And I think that's different comedian by comedian.
But there's also, though, the kind of thing which is like the divorcing intention part of it a little bit, which is like, I'll just say it, which is like kind of all that can be true. And yet the white shitheads that consume this media can still be like, which I guess is the problem with most satire is, of course, it could be taken the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just another tool in the satirist's arsenal that always perfect.
It has to so expertly set up its point of view that it can't become collateral for the other side difficult thing with satire and why, the internet has sure made people think that they're all satirists.
Well, but yeah, so as performers, do you think that is like more, did you feel more like vulnerable? And I mean, you know, we've been joking around about like getting canceled and blah, blah, blah. But like, I also feel like as people of color, it's just like, come on, we're fine, which is not correct, but I do feel that way.
I think there's going to be I think right now brown people are in a little bit of a safety bubble of cancellation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to burst. And I think
delete all my tweets.
So. Oh, yeah. I think people are going to come for us hard. What I'm saying is right now, I see you. I see you in the future coming for me for these comments right now.
Probably for this podcast and this episode.
Surely.
Yeah, fucked.
Yeah, I think there's been a little reticence to go after brown people. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, a weird feeling that
power
I'm like,
dynamics
that's going to end soon.
And this and that. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Riz?
Riz is like, I'm saying jack.
Now I'm very worried because I'm worried about getting canceled.
No.
Well, there's also the perpetual like accent work kind of question, which is like so hard and like such a part of like, you know, many Asian performers for sure like get that. I don't know. I mean,
you're talking about as a performer with accents. It's such a controversial subject, especially for me, and because I do like, I'm on shows right now. On Perfect Harmony, I do a little bit of an accent. And then on Schitt's Creek, I do a little bit of accent. And on The Magicians, I don't. And I always feel like there's always, whenever it's accent work, there's going to be all these people like, oh, this is so stereotypical. This is all this. Even though you try to make it a three-dimensional person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not like I'm playing the reverend of a church. Like, that's in no way stereotypical. But that character, because he's adopted by missionaries, needed to be, you know, of this, from this place. And I don't know, and you guys tell me, I always feel like we allow white people to do accents. We just, like Meryl Streep wins Oscars and Emmy. Mm-hmm. The accents are something that's considered acting. When we do it, it's, even if it's of the same, like I'm Indian, it becomes like, this is stereotypical and this, you can't do this. Mm. So I find it very, it's such a hard thing. But I also agree that we shouldn't be doing just, if it's just for the joke, like if it's just so like, I just want to be, like if it's just for the joke, then that's problematic.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's been a hard thing to navigate for me personally.
Yeah.
Because those conversations with, you know, when you're not the creator of the show.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, how do you have that conversation with someone who has hired you, has chosen you out of a large sea of people and said, we really want you to do this job. So you have to come like, thank you so much.
Yeah,
super humble. Thank you. Really appreciate this. However, those conversations are terrifying.
Yeah. And even in this, imagine. Like, I think at the first audition for Perfect Harmony, it said that they didn't want an accent, right? Mm. Like they want, but then it's almost in the conversation in the room, you're like, well, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like that, if he's adopted from India by missionary, this doesn't, unless he came here when he was like 2 years old, this doesn't make any sense.
Because I remember one time someone was going out for a role that required a Chinese accent. It was a friend of mine, a Vietnamese friend, and he was like, can you help me with the accent? And I was like, no. Like, I just don't know how to do it. Like, I don't think
you can't do it at all.
I don't think I really could, because I was fucking born in Michigan. You know what I mean?
In Toronto.
Yeah. But that's a little bit my question. It's like, do you think you have a good Indian accent? Or do you ever worry that
there's
you don't?
There's a lot of people on Twitter who think I don't. So.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They'll be like, oh, I mean, the thing is, there's, well, with India, there's like a million different accents. So you could, they're like, this is not
Yeah,
there's always going to be somebody.
There's someone. Because I was just like, my Chinese is so bad that like they're like, why would my fake Chinese be that good? Like,
I heard you speak Mandarin with a Colombian man, and we went on vacation with a bunch of friends. We went to Colombia, and this Colombian dude started speaking Mandarin. He and Andrew were just chopping it up. How was his Mandarin?
Not great.
Yes. Yours was better than his.
It was better than his, yeah.
I needed the tea. Because I couldn't tell.
That guy also probably speaks like 15 languages, though.
That's so true.
Good for him.
He was very cool.
Good for him.
Should we do another voicemail?
Yeah, we probably should. Here, do we answer them?
No.
Who cares? Sorry, we love you.
Oh, cancel your children. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, just don't let your kid talk. No matter what, don't let your fucking kid talk to you like that. Don't
do it.
Cancel your children. 2020. Here's a new voicemail.
Hi, Connie, Andrew, and guest. All right. I am a Black American woman. I am seeing someone who is ethnically ambiguous. He's white and American Indian or something, and I don't know, and I like him. I don't really care, but I want to know because I live in a country, I've been conditioned that way, I guess. I'm in a country where we want to know if you're mixed, what you're mixed with, but I also know I can't say, what are you, right? So, okay, I know I'm being racist, or I know I'm indulging or having some racist
question answer, no.
feelings about this, and I haven't capitulated yet, but I kind of want to be like, hey, baby, what are you? And I know I shouldn't do that. So I just answered my own question, but I'm putting it out there. I'm wondering, you know, how do I condition myself against this racism that I've been seized in? All right. Thanks.
What a journey.
That
was a journey.
Woo.
I love her acknowledging that she's like, this, you know, I've been conditioned to want to know this, as opposed to being like, I need to know. She's actually saying, like, why do I feel I need to know? Which is maybe the bigger, better question.
I want to know. Is that a problem?
Have him call in. Maybe that's how
that's
she finds
it.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
Have him call in and self-identify.
Yeah, we'll just run like a sort of fucked up Dropbox for couples who can't speak to each other.
Yeah. God, that is such a funny people's fascination with like, what are you? It just consumes them. They cannot handle not knowing what you are. Have you had crazy things? People ask you in crazy ways to try and suss out
where you're from. Because they're also trying to be politically correct. Also, I sometimes feel like, well, just go ahead and ask the question, because this ruminating about it might be even more problematic.
Yeah.
Say, hey, how would you ask, what's your ethnicity? What's,
like the most clinical way, I guess.
Like,
you Indian dog?
I feel like people always ask, like, where are you from? Is a fun one, because then I'm sure you would say Toronto or Michigan, mm-hmm, or I would say Vacaville, California, home of the Onion Festival. Mm-hmm. And then they want to say, like, where are your parents from?
Yeah.
And I say, like, the bad high school in town or whatever. And then they really just want to know, like, what continent did they come from? And I love watching people twist and, like, not really answer.
And
I guess that is worse.
Just let them squirm?
Oh, I let them
and
squirm.
And I'm the opposite. I'll just be like, I think you mean, like, what's my ethnicity? My parents are from Tanzania, which doesn't help you.
Right.
And my ancestry is Indian.
Yeah. Because
then you're like, nope, you're not...
Yep.
That's not it.
Yeah, because you can lead them down, and even that might be it, because since in America especially, you can lead them down an even longer puzzle of like, where are you from?
Yeah.
No, what country are you from? Okay, but what where are your parents? Okay. Yeah. But where
I don't
it's just
know.
Unending.
I feel like the good ones, by the time I've let them squirm down three or four, they realize that this is insane, and if they can't just figure out a normal way to ask it, then they just shouldn't probably.
What would be the best way to ask?
I guess if you have to know, but for strangers it's weird, I think.
Yeah.
If you don't know each other well, like why
it's
do
not
you
your, yeah, it's none of your business.
Like that's it's not like saying like
she's
where'd
dating
you grow
him,
up?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess just saying like what's your ethnic background? Or you know, what's your ethnicity, I guess, if you have to know. But that's abrupt if you're a stranger. I guess I'm thinking of like stranger.
Yeah. Did she just steal his DNA and send it to 23andMe?
Yes. That's
and then tell him
this is what you are.
I sent your DNA to. I hope you don't mind.
I hope you don't mind. And I also, it linked up with someone who it says is your dad. He's like, his whole world is shattered.
That's, I think probably, well, I wonder, because mainly the not even taboo, but just like the reason people find that annoying is because the implication that you're not
from here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, because you actually aren't from here, America at least, that feels like less of a thing less to of a, you.
Yeah, maybe.
Whereas we're just basic ass.
I'm American. I can barely hang on. I'm from fucking Michigan.
I'm fucking American. My bath towel is a giant American flag.
I'm more American than most of you motherfuckers in a bad way.
Yeah, like in a bad way.
I'm too American.
Yeah, I think especially for Black people too. There's a lot of like Black people wanting to be more from here than we are. But I should say Black people who've descended from chattel slavery. Like there's like a we don't. Know where we can really claim, like culturally or nationality wise, pre the slavery. It's like, what do I say here? Slavery. Yeah. So sometimes there is like a lot, you get a lot of Black people who, in their family lore, there's claim to be Native American. Like, mm-hmm. there's this great sense of just wanting to have some ownership over the land and like a belonging here. So to be asked where I'm from, it's like, fucking here, y'all brought me here. Nowhere but here. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. I think it feels like a very specific, like, immigrant thing, like chip on our shoulders that is it useful? I don't know.
But as a performer as well, do you get asked it in the audition room?
No. I feel like people just...
I get asked it all the time. And
really?
Then they have to... Now they have a rule. So they can't ask you, like...
Oh.
So they go around it.
Interesting.
So there's like different ways of like of getting around. I find it uncomfortable in the audition room, because the thing is, you're auditioning for like, even today was for like ethnicity was Afghani.
Oh, sure.
And so
they want to know.
And then if you're like, well, we want them to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's very when we get to ethnicities in the business, it's now becoming very, very specific. Like, you need to be from this street.
Does that bother you guys?
I guess I was thinking that it probably doesn't happen to me because my managers and agents know what I am. So if they submit me for a role that's Black or mixed or biracial, then the casting people assume I'm that.
Yes.
So there's not a question, as opposed to maybe there's so much less visibility for South Asian and Middle Eastern actors that
because they themselves don't know, right? Like, it's such
they
a
don't know.
Like,
yeah.
Before all, like in all the shows, like 24 and Homeland, like it was all Indian people playing all these Middle Eastern roles,
yeah.
Because they just wanted them to be darker skinned, because it was like, and then they realized, well, Middle Eastern,
right?
In that they're not as dark skinned as Indian people, so now they're like being very like, okay, now we're gonna be very
now they're getting specific.
Because people know better, so yeah. They're being smarter about it, but so now they want to. They're asking the questions, right?
Yeah.
Or so, trying to find a
or
way.
Or trying to find a way to ask the question.
God, that's so weird.
It is very weird.
Yeah.
It
I mean,
sound
it,
uncomfortable.
Maybe, Tony, you talked a little bit about it earlier, too. It's like, we are in a weird time. Because, like, for East Asian people, it really is just like, anything goes. Asians play any other East Asian.
Well, you don't think they're becoming more specific? Like,
I feel like they should
be. Are you Chinese? Are you Korean?
Well,
like, how did they...
Specifically, and like, friend of the show, he's been on the show before. I love Randall Park.
Yeah.
But like, that motherfucker looks Korean as hell. And like, when he plays a Chinese dad, you're like, all right. Like, it's just this thing where it's like, he reads as Chinese to people who don't really know Chinese people, which is the audience of, like, again, shout out to the ABC Corporation. I love them to death. but truly, you know what I mean? Like that was the calculus. It's a debate. It's an actual, I think, reasonable debate, you know, like, I've had friends who've had shows where, or pilots or things where it's like, you know, this is a Chinese person. This Korean person is good for it.
Yeah.
And we're going to go with it. And that's just sort of the piece that we have all decided to make, I guess, in this tiny time frame that it feels like it's not going to be forever.
And I think this harkens back to what you said earlier, Riz, is that like white people get to be Scottish and Brits get to play Americans all the time. So I guess it's just because we have so much less visibility that is specific to Chinese people, specific to Vietnamese people, that it stings a little bit for some people when the casting isn't as specific. So
well, the thing, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I feel like white people get to act. And they with the people of color, they want you to be that person. Like, I want, I cast a real cab driver.
Yeah.
I cast a 7-Eleven owner. Oh my, you know, we cast, you're that person.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're white, you get to act. And I think that's also like with the Oscars.
Right,
like,
right.
I just saw Parasite. I don't know if you guys have seen Parasite.
I haven't seen it yet.
I don't understand how that movie, like directing, fine movie, but that movie is all about the acting. Like, I don't understand how not a single.
Yeah.
But that, again, they don't, because they don't know these people specifically, they're like, oh, they must just be like this.
Right.
Whereas
right,
you're like, you know Brad Pitt, and you're like, oh, he's playing this character.
Right.
It's such a dichotomy. It's such a weird, this business has become very sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's gross. We're gross. Let's do one more voicemail.
It's gross. We're gross.
Hi, everyone. So I have been getting into this fight with my friend lately.
Hell yeah.
Because one girl from Denmark told him that Hinge, the dating app, isn't for white people. And I think he's being dumb and disagree. I think it's for everyone who wants to use it. And the way he tried to prove to me that it wasn't for white people was by going on it and showing me a diverse group of people on the dating app, which I think isn't proof. I think it's just showing that a diverse group of people use the same dating app. So I guess I want to know if I'm being racist, that this pisses me up so much that he believes this one girl that told him once that it's not for white people, or I don't know. I just want to know if he's being racist or if I'm being racist, that it upsets me so much. I don't know. Please help.
All right.
Who's this girl from Denmark, first of all? Who is she?
For the older people, what's Hinge?
Okay, so Hinge, it's the same as all the other ones. It doesn't
it's
really matter.
It's the same thing?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's, like, what's it's a dating app.
But it used to be that you had to have a degree of separation from the person, so there was a mild connection.
I think that's gone now.
That's gone now.
Yeah, it's just a regular dating app. But like many of the dating apps, I think it's sort of through, it feels like randomness. It just kind of like things are associated with you know, types of people, you know, or groups just gravitate to things. Yep. But I would say, as a full connoisseur of dating apps, that Hinge is definitely the, it's, I think it's more diverse. I think that's safe
to
say. But
not for white people.
Exactly. Well, so yeah, the question really, I think it was boiled down to is like, is it racist to say if something is has diversity that it's not for white people?
Right. Like, you're so unused to seeing that much diversity that as soon as you see it, you're like, I guess I'm not allowed here.
Yeah.
It's like, no. You are. You're just we also are here.
Yeah. For the caller, I'm just like, and this goes back a little bit to the first one, too. It's like, is this really, y'all really get stumped by shit like this?
Yeah. No, I think there's something else going on.
Okay.
Right?
No, go for it.
No, I just think there's something else going on between her and this guy, first of all.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, who are y'all? Who's this girl from Denmark? Why are you so pressed that this girl from Denmark is like, she told me this and now I believe it. Like, there's something else happening here.
Oh, we've just seen the tip of a drama.
There's too much like here. Like, why would you care so much?
Call back.
Call back, update us, let us know how you and Tad ended up together. But producer Alex was having a visceral reaction when she was.
I don't understand what the proof was supposed to be, that if you open an app and there are diverse people on it, that it must not then be for white people to date those people.
Right.
To me, it's just like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's some like old school racism shit right there.
Yeah.
It does feel
like some pretty, pretty fucked up separate but equal shit. If that's your line of like, this isn't for white people. Yeah. There's too many people of color on here.
Oh my God, that's made me think of how they do. That's how they make commercials. That's probably That's probably why they're like, look, if we have all brown people in this commercial, people are just going to think this product is not for white people.
Yeah.
Like, imagine.
Oh my God. Yeah.
If this one person is calling in about this, I'm sure that's white people, you're making me lose out on all these commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And like how they won't, now what I notice they do is they, you know, because they still won't cast a lot of interracial couples, and it has to be like a big brand move and a huge discussion to have like a mixed couple. But they'll not know if it's going to be a colorful couple or a white couple. And so they'll kind of decide by picking one like anchor person.
Yeah.
And then that will decide. So you could be up for a role, but then if they pick that white woman to play the wife, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Commercials are so toxic.
What?
They're awful. Oh. Yeah.
And they'll see every demographic. Like, you'll go in and then they'll have a meeting and they'll be like, no, I think our demographic, we need to make sure that.
Mm-hmm. Because it used to be, okay, so I feel like 5 or 6 years ago, and especially in Chicago, where the types of brands like starting their commercial campaigns in Chicago were going to cater to a more Midwestern audience, those commercial auditions, you'd walk in and I'd just be like, bam, 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 every light-skinned, curly-haired black girl in town that I knew. It was just like a fun house mirrors of different shapes of myself. But now I'll go in and I used to think, oh, this is progress. Like, there's a redheaded girl, here's a Chinese girl, we're mixing it up. But it's because they don't know which way they want to go. Yeah. And then they'll choose it and they'll anchor somebody. And then.
But then it.
Yeah.
Then it locks in the other role.
That's right.
Exactly. Oh,
God, that's so fucked up. Wait, here's a question. Because I feel like we all have this perception in America that Canada's less racist. But a little bit of like, and maybe this is a little bit from Canadian media, probably a little bit residual from British media too, where you're like, there's more interracial couples, I feel, on the Commonwealth's media. I'm so dumb. I'm truly, what am I talking about?
I grew
about?
Up with a lot of racism at school. I mean, I left when I went to New York for acting school. So in the 90s, but before that, at that time it was the biggest insult. I don't know why it was such a big deal, but they would call you Packy.
Oh, right. Man, that's a big
and I was
slur
like, that's
London.
Like, it's such a not like to me right now. I'm like, if somebody calls like, that doesn't feel like any, but when growing up, it was such a hard thing. Like they would just call you Packy or like Gandhi dot. Jesus. It was like a big because there was, and also because we were the big minority, like the Indians were the big minority there, and so there was a lot of that. I feel like it's kind of like it's kind of everywhere.
Yeah. Every now and then a caller will call in and say that Canada's way less racist than here. And we drag them.
And for
them.
What? And like, what is the, what? The evidence of that?
Also, like, congrats, because the bar is low.
As low as it could
it's
be.
It's on the floor.
It's under the floor in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Underground Railroad.
They also need to figure out about their, as performers, they got to figure out about their television as well. And because their representation is, I feel like almost the United States is doing a better job. Like they just need to, they need to do a better job. Their population is very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just need to do a better job of that.
You hear that, Canada?
Fuck you, Canada.
No, just kidding.
I love you, Canada. Please hire me.
Amazing. Well, Riz, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I never got to tell my story, but I will. I want to come back again. I'll tell my story.
You want to tell your story? Tell your story.
I wanted the one I was telling you about.
Because
I really want to know if this was racist.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
So I was at Starbucks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was with my two older kids.
Mm-hmm.
We had gone to get passport photos. And so on the way back, we'd take them out of school because they had to go and get, because it was like we were going to go on vacation and I was with the nanny, and I was ordering stuff and waiting for my stuff at Starbucks, and the kids were like running around, they were going under the tables, and there was the nanny, and she was not, and I turned around and I was like, guys, you have to stop, you're gonna get hurt, like please, please stop, like we're in a Starbucks and you need to, and I'm like loud, as you can tell. So anyways, I didn't think anything of it and just waited. They were still, you know, they're still running on. I made them stop. And then when I was done and as I was leaving, this white lady came up to me and she's like, I just want to let you know that you need to let your kids just let them feel and, you know, let them know about art and let them just love and like, you know, they're amazing. And I was so shocked. I was like, oh, okay. And then afterwards I, you know, and it doesn't seem like a bad, like you think it's not a bad thing. Like she was giving, but I was like, why is she giving me, like, why is she giving me advice? Like, is it
the thing about feeling and art? Like, yeah.
She saw this Indian, like, Muslim, whatever with like geisha. And she's like, oh, he's probably like either tiger dad or like whatever. And he probably is like sheltering his kids and. I'm like, no, they're in a Starbucks and they should not be running around. Like,
during
they
should their just school like, I'm sorry, that day. Is
nothing. They're like, come on, like, what is happening?
They're wilding out playing hooky. So. And you think, oh, Tiger Dad is here. God, yeah.
That happens to me a lot. Like, we get like advice type things.
Yes.
Like at restaurants, I like, can oh, if you're, that. You know, what I would do mm-hmm. is, I don't. Like, no, I don't,
yeah.
like, I don't care what he would do. I'm like.
Yeah. It does feel like sometimes the advice that we get, and I know because my partner is white, often in similar situations where we do the exact same things, he will not get advice. And I don't know if it's because I'm a woman or because I'm black or whatever, but for some reason, people are more comfortable giving me advice or telling me things than him. And maybe that's some of what you were feeling from her. Like,
so I wasn't wrong to be like, this is icky. Boom. Why are you telling me
that shit
me
is
this?
Racist? That's,
yo, this is racist.
That's why we got that stamp made for the table.
Oh, yeah, so just, big stamp.
We'll just get it notarized on your way out. You're all set. You can go find that lady and tell her.
Yo, this is racist.
Find that lady, give her a copy of this show.
I love it.
Oh, God.
But Riz, tell people where they can see here.
I'll be at
more
the Starbucks with my children. Come give me advice. I'm looking forward to
just
it.
Just chill at Starbucks. But no, you're the season finale.
Season finale of Perfect Harmony is
tomorrow.
Next Thursday.
Oh, wait, tomorrow.
Oh. Yes, tomorrow as of when people are listening to this.
As of the 23rd something? Yes, the 23rd.
Tomorrow.
I'll just say a date because I don't know what tomorrow.
Great, perfect.
Yes, tomorrow. Watch it.
Yay.
Amazing. Tawny, hopefully we'll be back for second season.
I don't think I will. No. I thought I was going to be, and then one of the producers came up after my last day and thanked me so much for ending my run with you guys.
Well, you kind of left on bad terms.
Sorry about it.
You just disappeared.
Sorry. All right, well, this was the best. And now I'm going to leave on great terms. We love everyone.
And wasn't that amazing?
Ha 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 ha. Watch Perfect Harmony to see Riz.
Oh, you were doing a sing.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
She was doing a sing, everyone.
I wasn't doing a sing.
I can't tell the difference.
Anyway, watch The Circle, even though I have no stake in it. I just need someone to talk with about it.
Yeah. Call in. Okay, so the two things to call in are...
Very important.
323-3897-223. You can either leave questions about racism that we will consider answering.
Maybe.
Just the word yes or no to what would you eat that.
To would you eat that. And you can just ramble your thoughts about The Circle. And we probably will play them on here because that show has infected my brain. I believe I'm in The Circle. I'm standing up talking to the TV like a maniac.
I do. I think it cuts you off at 2 minutes of the voicemail. But you know what?
You know what?
I'll fucking know. Just leave us 100 voicemails.
Yeah, we don't care.
We don't care.
We need content. Oh, podswag.com/yo. Okay, but we actually have really cool new swag in there now.
Yeah.
We have these very cool
water bottles.
Stainless water bottles? Are they stainless?
A stained metal already.
They're metal of some sort.
They're cool.
Whatever you make a cool water bottle out of.
Podswag.com/yo. Did we say that?
I did say it. Oh. Your/your? No, just yo.
Yo.
Yeah. Podswag.com/yo. And they say, just trying my best. I know sometimes our phrase is just doing my best. There hasn't been a great consensus.
We don't care.
We have a shirt that says one thing and a bottle that says the other.
They
you know
mean
what?
The same thing. You know that they mean the same thing.
And this is how you have diversity in your merch.
Two phrases.
Yeah, two phrases. But they're cute. They're white. They got like cool phrasing on them. And they don't say the word racism on there anywhere. So you don't have to explain shit when you go to yoga. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.